Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We continue with our strange time of separation here at Grace Lutheran Church. And again, we continue to monitor things to see when we may safely and gladly return and worship together here at Grace before the Lord's altar. Beginning this week, we will try a Zoom Bible study, Tuesday, 7 p.m., our normal wine and the word time slot. We'll try that. It'll be sort of a beta test. We'll give it a go. Check your email this week, either late Monday or sometime Tuesday, for that link to show up. Just click that link and follow it to the Zoom site. If you're doing this on a mobile phone or a tablet, check your App Store, Google Play Store. Download the Zoom app first. If you're on your desktop, laptop, you should be able to just do that through the web browser or download an app there as well. That is also a possibility. Look for those instructions. Also, zoom.us, that's the website for Zoom, zoom.us. Otherwise, the link will be on its way. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord." Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's been quite a day. The women who had gone to the tomb to complete Jesus' burial had come running back with astonishing news. The tomb was open. The grave was empty. There was also some incoherent talk of angels who said he was alive. Peter and John had rushed to the tomb and saw the grave clothes folded up neatly. Mary Magdalene was nearly hysterical, claiming that she had seen Jesus, that he had called her by name. And then, nothing. They waited all day with the other disciples for more news, but there was nothing. Finally, they decided to go home and set out for Emmaus. Cleopas and the other disciple are still reeling when a stranger joins them on the road. They can't help but talk to him about the news. And to their surprise, he seems to know nothing about it. What? If this guy really was in Jerusalem on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, how can he not know what was going on? Was he living under a rock? They tell him their story, a cascading jumble of uncertainty. And they hope for a little sympathy. Anyone with a heart will certainly comfort them, right? But they don't get that. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Well, that's certainly not the feel-good answer they were looking for. The stranger then gives them a Bible study about the Messiah. But why did he have to do that? Why go over scripture passages that they no doubt knew already? Because of the same reason that Jesus appeared to Mary, to Thomas, to the other disciples. Unbelief. They knew what Scripture said, but knowing what Scripture says is not the same as believing what Scripture says. Knowing God's word about Jesus well enough to win at Bible trivia is not the same as trusting in God's word about Jesus for your salvation. So Jesus gives the two men a major reorientation of their view of Scripture. All of it. Not just a few cherry-picked passages. No, he changes the lens they use to look at Scripture. He shows them that all theology is Christology. How all of Holy Scripture has its center in Christ, in the person and the work of Jesus. So what was the content of that Bible study on the road? We don't know which passages Jesus used to tell them about himself, but we can make some educated guesses about some of those that speak of salvation through Christ alone. Jesus began with Moses. So we can look to Genesis, the very first proclamation of the gospel. Almighty God tells Satan in the garden, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And as he nears the end of his life, Moses tells the gathered people of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. Isaiah prophesies of the suffering servant. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Hosea calls Israel to repentance and says, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Zechariah tells of Israel's deliverance. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Jesus surely walked them through many of the Psalms too. He may have touched on Psalm 16. My body will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Or he might have used Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And maybe Psalm 118. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many other texts Jesus could have used, because the whole Bible is about Jesus for you. There's the Passover, the blood of the Lamb that saves the people from the angel of death. The Exodus, God's salvation of his people from the enemy. The sacrificial system that pointed to the Christ and his blood that would cover the sins of all people. There's the exile and the return to the promised land. There's so many that Jesus probably taught for the whole 2-hour walk to Emmaus. Even after this, they still don't realize who's with them. Their eyes are still closed to the truth. And then it happens. They convince him to stay for the night, to eat with them, to rest from his travels. He sits down to eat with them, and while at the table, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. In the breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened and they realized who it was. Jesus was alive. Their resurrected Lord was with them. Their eyes were opened and they see the reality. They fully see the truth they only had glimpses of before. The risen Jesus was with them on the road. He was with them in the teaching. He was with them in the blessing and breaking of the bread, just as he is still with you. With you in teaching and in preaching and in his holy word and in the blessed sacraments. You may not see Jesus, but he does make his presence known. You hear his voice in Holy Scripture and in preaching. Your hearts burn because you have heard Holy Scripture and you know your Lord is with you. You are confident that the Jesus who died and was raised for you will not leave you. You are confident that he whose blood was poured out to cover your sin is with you always. Even when you wonder if he hears your prayers from your isolated and separated homes, deep down you know he does. When you wonder if he is still with you when you are so far away from his altar, deep down you know that he walks beside you. When you mourn your absence from his churchly presence, deep down you know that he comforts you. Cleopas and the other disciple were overwhelmed with grief because of the tragedy they had witnessed. But their eyes were opened to the truth when the living and active Word of God had its way with them, and Christ, the salvation of all, was revealed to them. And when their eyes were opened, their sorrow turned to joy, and their grief to jubilation. May you have that same reaction to your resurrected and living Lord when He comes to you. Whether it is in Holy Scripture, in His electronically preached word, or when that joyous day comes again, gathered together in body to receive His blessed sacraments. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.